At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Beyond the Bell. I'm Andrew Zarian. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. 10:30 a.m. here on the East Coast. I'm tired today. Holy moly. This shirt is way too tight on me. Do you see this, MG, my producer? I'm putting you up here.
Do
you
see how tight
this? This shirt is way too tight on me. I apologize. Yes. I was sleeveless today, and I got a message. Hey, it's September. Don't you put your sleeves back on? And I'm like, you're absolutely right. I got to put my sleeves back on. So I'm wearing an overly tight shirt.
There's no rule says that.
You know what? You're absolutely right. There are no goddamn rules about that. A lot to talk about today. Rich is not here. Yeah, I do a wrestling show. No sleeves needed, dude. Rich is not here today. He was at Disney all weekend. And he is exhausted. He needed another day. I think he got back yesterday. And he's like, dude, I need another day. I said, don't worry about it. We're going to do a Q&A episode today. I know a lot of you guys have questions. A lot of you gals have questions. So we're going to talk about it. You could ask away. We'll bring it up. If you super chat it, it'll go to the front of the line. Already we got 10 bucks here, which is wonderful. Joel Pearl will be joining me in a little bit for a few minutes. Just to shoot the shit a little bit. Your very own Joel Pearl from In the Weeds. But let's go into this, huh? Fightful Select just put out a big, big story on their Patreon. Head on over to Fightful Select and subscribe. I'm a Fightful Select subscriber, even before I joined Fightful. I'm still paying and I'm part of Fightful. Isn't that unbelievable? Is that how it's supposed to work? I'm paying for Fightful... You know, I like
pay to play, baby.
Listen, dude, I still pay for Observer. You know why I pay for Observer? I don't want to break my record of how many years I've been a subscriber. That's why. I think I'm at like year, like, I don't know, like 15? I've been reading the Observer for like 20 years. I had a Dutch uncle that was a subscriber, and he would bring me the old issues. Wild stuff. Let's talk about this. Last night, John Orand at Puck reported the AW media rights deal with WBD. You know, it's interesting because this is pretty much what we've been saying for months now. But a couple interesting notes here, and I will talk about it. I should have gotten Sean on this. You know what, Jeff in the chat room, shouldn't it be tax deductible? Yes, it should be. It's a work expense. Definitely tax deductible. Let me see. Let me pull this up. All right, so it looks like it's a four-year deal. This is according to John. And listen, I have no reason to doubt John's reporting here, okay? I will say that. And you left the key thing out of this copy and paste, MG. Oh, no, there it is. Okay, now I see it. Never mind. Okay, he says, it looks like it's going to be... I like to blame you for all my issues here. It looks like it's a four-year deal, three-year guarantee with a one-year option, okay? Very realistic. That is a very realistic term. I can't 100% confirm it, but that's what it seems like it is. I was told four, I was told five, so here you go. Here's your 4 years. Oran says it's $170 million per year. It's apparently the ballpark, so give or take, right? And I think that give or take has to do with whether or not does this include the pay-per-view structure? Does this not include Max? Does this not include other... you know, possible distribution fees that they're going to be getting. That is the number that we've all heard. I've never once reported a number. Let me just state that because I want to give credit where credit is due. I've never had a solid number. I've heard the same numbers that everybody else listening to the show, listening on X, has heard. Okay? It is varied from $125 million all the way to, you know, $200 million a year. I don't know the number. I mean, that is a healthy number for sure. That is a number that gets them over that hurdle. They do become very profitable at $170 million plus a year, right? And this isn't including international content deals that they have. There's a lot of good opportunities coming up, especially in India and in the UK with WWE going to Netflix. This opens up some key partners for them if they're looking on, you know, increasing their international presence onto better stations. He says AEW will air on TNT, TBS, and True TV twice per week as part of a strategy to make True TV more sports based. TNT, TBS, 100%. I was told that. I have not seen or heard anything regarding True TV, but you know, if they are using True TV for replays, that is a great idea. You know, I believe the plan for True TV currently is that they're going to go sports-based for primetime programming. There's a lot of time to fill during the week. I have not heard True TV. It's very possible, though. That could be part of the strategy to get AEW in front of people. You know, originally, there was part of the concept was to replay AEW on TNT and TBS. That was something that was, and I believe they did it a few times, didn't they, early on, MG?
I think you're right, yes.
Yeah, I think my guest is here, huh? Let's see this handsome boy. There he is, Joel Pearl, everybody.
I'm on the wrong camera.
Are you on the wrong camera?
I'm on the wrong camera. That's how good I am at this job.
You're so good at this job. You're on the wrong camera. Joel, Joel's going to be joining me here. While my producer tries to get him in a double box and unzoom him because he seems like he's a little zoomed here.
This is why I need to change my camera.
This is why you need to change your camera. I'll fix it. Don't worry about it. So we're talking about the deal. I don't know how much you caught on to this, the John Orand story that dropped. 4-year deal, right? 3-year guarantee, 1-year option. Most likely the option is taken. It's around $170 million. That's the ballpark. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that the deal is incremental. Every year there's some sort of increase. A lot of these deals, I don't know that specifically. I'm just saying based on how TV has worked over the last, you know, especially sports programming. The True TV thing is very interesting to me because I was told that there would be a simulcasting portion of this TV deal for AEW. Months ago, I made a post. This came from a pretty high up, and I confirmed it with both sides that what was in play was essentially what the NBA was doing, where you would watch it on TNT or TBS, and then it would also simulcast on the Max app. The next 5 years of cable programming is going to be fascinating. Linear, the days of linear are dropping. Do we have Joel here? I could do a side-by-side. There we go. Look at that. Hello. That's good. I could do a side-by-side now. I could have Joel's beautiful face on my screen. Okay, what do you make of this so far?
Of the deal?
Of this report.
So I'm just catching up on it. It's been a bit of a busy morning, and I was reading a bit of the Puck stuff, and I read a bit about what was on Select. Listen, the deal is fine. It felt like, what, Tony wanted 5 years, and then WBD wanted maybe 3 years. So this is a good in between doing at least four, right? You're doing three plus an option here. The content is fine. The True TV stuff obviously has people talking. How do you do it twice a year? Is that a recap twice, show? Is that maybe
it's a re, I believe it's going to be, I believe it's going to be a replay.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. That's what something could have changed. Right? If AEW is airing on TNT, TBS, and True TV twice per week, I mean, listen, I want to get to that speculation on what that could be, right? Because there's another element to this.
Sure.
The announcement of the deal could come as soon as next week. That is very interesting to me that he said that, okay? I was I've been told that every week. I mean, I'm not, it's not a hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. Every week since I said the deal is signed, which I believe it was signed the weekend of All Out, right? That's when I said that the deal was done. I was told it could happen the following week. It could happen the following week. So I think right now what that really comes down to is PR doing all their work and scrambling to get this. I think they need to get marketing. They need to get PR. They need to get their sales team. They need to get AEW. They need to get the network ads. They need to get everything in line in order to announce this. And I think that's where we're at. It's whenever everything is in line, they're going to announce it. So, you know, next week is Grand Slam. That's a big week. They could announce it during then. I don't think it's going to be some nothing announcement. I think this is something that, you know, Variety or the Wall Street Journal or somebody is going to have a big piece and they're going to publish this talking about, you know, how great this is. They will be the second most successful pro wrestling company ever after WWE, which was expected. I mean, they already are, they're going to surpass Nitro next year. All right, we got a super chat. Let's see. Let me see where it is. Okay. Glassdoor Gamer, thank you for all your updates the last year plus about the TV deal. Do you see Tony Khan also investing more of his money with this deal? Could be good timing for it considering the infrastructure needs. Yeah, I think that's a really big possibility because now you're seeing the cash flow is positive. That's a lot of money. Is that double what they're getting? Is that close to double? Is that 1x? I don't know the exact number of what they're getting, but here's the other element here, right? Max is the other element. AEW will be on Max, okay? I will say that. Pay-per-views will be on Max. I do not believe it is exclusive to Max because of a number of people I have spoken to, especially in the cable world. They will be, I mean, I think they're just going to have it everywhere still, but Max will be what they market, which makes all the sense in the world.
So keep it on Triller, keep it on YouTube or wherever international partners you have, and then Max is in addition to.
I even think cable providers. I think they're going to stick with the cable providers. They're not dropping Spectrum. They're not going to do that because part of it also has to do with certain pay-per-view providers having an outlook for next year, and they're on that outlook as to shows going on. This was as of 2 weeks ago. Again, things could change rapidly. The other thing is the other broadcast partner that AEW is looking at, right? What was the wording he used? He used a very specific wording here. He says AEW is pitching an additional package to broadcast networks. Last, when we reported the Fox story, I had to put an asterisk there because I said, I don't know if it's verbiage, like internal verbiage from Fox that people are saying, well, oh no, it's Fox. I don't know how their lingo works. You know, it's like saying, you know, oh, they're on Turner. Turner means WBD. I don't know what the internal lingo is. So I can't determine if this is Fox National, if this is FS1, if this is something else. I'll tell you, if they're looking at Fox as a national platform, they cannot put a C-level show on there. It can't be a Rampage.
You don't want to watch Rampage at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night?
And then go into Collision?
Sure. I mean, Jeremy and I talked about this as well on In the Weeds. How do you maximize on the amount of hours of content AEW has? If Rampage was originally supposed to be that quote-unquote third hour of Dynamite, and I don't necessarily mean sequentially, you should present it as such that Rampage flows storyline-wise into Dynamite, which or vice versa, which they do a pretty good job with. If you add Collision at 2 hours and you add maybe a third hour, does that kind of work together as well? Collision and Dynamite, the problem is they don't connect. So if there is an additional show, let's say, that hits a Fox network, should it be something that connects everything or that connects some of the things? Should it be a recap show of its own? Should it be a studio show type of presentation? what does a show like that look
depends
like?
Depends when you put it on.
Maximize interest.
You know, if you're doing a like a Saturday afternoon studio show, right? I don't know what kind of impact that would have on you. I don't know if that would be a positive or negative. You know, we got to also remember, a lot of people have forgotten how WWE did programming. You know, they had Monday Night Raw, they had Sunday Night Heat, they had Jack, they had Velocity, they had Metal, they had a studio-based show, you know, Livewire at one point, they had Shotgun Saturday Night that was syndicated. You know, they tried everything. They had, it was, I mean, now we're down to like the least amount of WWE shows, right? But forever, it was multiple shows, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you had pay-per-views, you had Heat, you had so much happening.
I'd actually argue that there's still a lot of programming that people aren't watching.
What do they have now? Well, they got main event.
So you've got main event. You've got Level Up for NXT. That's the Friday night show after
Level Up. Okay.
You've got a news show, the WWE Now or whatever they're calling it. That's the Scott Stanford show. They still do that. I know that I'm missing something, but there are other news magazine style presentation shows that are in the WWE ecosystem that people are just not needing to pay attention to unless you missed a show and you want to catch up and you don't have 3 hours on your time.
Can I give a little shout out to Scott Stanford? My morning drive to drop the kids off. I put on 10-10 wins because you give them 22 minutes, they'll give you the world. Do you know anything about 10-10 wins, Joel?
It's been a long time since I've listened to New York Terrestrial Radio.
Okay. I still listen to New York Terrestrial Radio on 92.3 FM, the old Howard station. And Scott Stanford is the morning drive news guy. He's great. My kids love him. They want to listen to Scott Stanford. They tell me, put that man on. That's what they call him, that man.
He's got the voice.
He's got a great voice. I gotta tell you, I listen every morning. I think strategizing and doing that is positive for AEW. Listen, not every show is going to have everything you want, but you need to get guys on TV. You need people present. True TV going to be a learning tree. Oh, no.
Ryan Lambert's one of our In the Weeds regulars. He gets it. He knows what's happening. They should call, yeah, you got TLC. They should, it's just be Learning Tree Channel. It's going to be Learning Tree Channel. LTC. What
is it? Like a children's show? Is he doing like a kid show? Hi, kids. Today we're learning about, you know, cars.
Sure. Yeah, it's something else, but I'm not going to say it. Pulaski would do that one. But yes, yeah, you could easily do a TLC with Jericho.
Yeah, I could see that. The network thing is very interesting. I don't think it's CW. A lot of people speculating, you know, they don't have an exclusivity thing with CW. I don't think they're going to go to CW. But the W does stand for Warner, so that is funny, right? Okay, here's another one. Why do you think WBD only wants 3 years? Are they not confident in a 5-year investment in AEW, seeing the declining ratings, or is there another reason? I don't think it's a declining rating. I think it's just outlooking the future of cable, because it is, you know, my background was technology. I did a very successful tech podcast before this. I have, my background is media and technology, and that's how I started, and it kind of rolled into this insane life that I have. But you know, the conversation always around cable television and traditional television was, when is it over? Right? And I've heard 10 years. Oh, we need another 10 years. In 10 years, it's over. It hasn't. The 10 years have come and gone, but we've seen the landscape change where the USA Network, which was in 90 million plus homes only a couple years ago, now it's down to 69 million homes. And it's that number is dropping beyond the pace that it was dropping at. I mean, it's over, I think it's at five, it's over a 5% drop now. Someone could clarify that. Last I read, it was like a 5% drop year over year. Those are astronomical numbers of people cutting the cord. So, you know, if you give them $170 million and in year five, your distribution for TNT and TBS is now at fifth. I'm throwing up just terrible numbers here, right? Because I'm speculating. It's at 50 million homes. Because the bottom fell out. That is, you know, that's something that you are now stuck paying a bill for. So I think the simulcasting is interesting. I think the replays are positive because now you're going to create, you know, another way to find a casual channel surfer to stop and look. When pro wrestling is on, people stop. And that's part of the strategy, too. You want people to stop and be like, what the hell am I watching? Who is this? And then maybe they watch or maybe they don't. But the simulcasting I find interesting. The Max deal I find interesting. Now, a lot of the questions is, how are they doing pay-per-view? I don't know. They do not have a pay-per-view functionality as of today on Max. There's no feature that you could, you know, pay-per-view on a show. Do they bundle it with, you know, the BR Live tier? That's also a possibility. Can you get extra 20? Can you get a $20 a month subscription from AEW fans instead of them paying $50 a month for a pay-per-view? Because they will go monthly for the pay-per-views. That's going to happen. We're already seeing that. They have a show in January, February, March. I don't know about April. April, yeah, they have a show in April, right? No? We do this every time, Joel.
You listen, the next calendar's coming up. I don't know anymore.
I don't know.
They've also moved things around. Remember, for 2025, Forbidden Door got moved. So as a result, All In got moved. Things get moved around a little bit as they're finding their footing if they do monthly.
Here's another one from Tony Bologna. I'm not a bologna fan, but I love a good mortadelle. All right?
Yeah.
Super thin mortadelle from North Shore Farms here. Andrew, do you think the financial stability AEW is finding will help them build out their back office and production teams? Will they have an AEW tower in the next few years? Yeah, I think it should be in New York.
Maybe in Connecticut. Nice. Maybe on East Main Street, 1281. It's up for sale.
There is a building in Connecticut up for sale. I mean, that would be hysterical if he bought Titan Tower and called it the Con Towers.
I heard there's a Hall of Fame in one of the old elevators. You can go to
Con Tower? That'd be fantastic. I think they definitely need to fix up the back office. Listen, they've already done that, and we're seeing the changes happening, right? I'm not exposing anybody here, right? But I will say, for Tony to have people around him that understand analytics, understand what they're doing, which, Joel, we have a friend. He's very close to the situation there.
Yep.
Damn guy never tells me a word, though. Message him all the time, and he does not say anything to me.
There are only so many lips that are loose.
There's so many lips. You know what? That guy, he does not have loose lips.
That's true.
Because I'll go to him with stuff that I know, and he's like, I don't know. Nobody told me. That's his answer.
I ain't saying nothing. By the way, just going back to the AEW tower kind of quip.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to own a physical space, in my opinion. This is a company that came to their version of prominence during the pandemic, when people were by and large working remotely, and they were able to find their footing with that. And then when they went back on the road, they decided everything gets done remotely, but we meet up once a week or once a month, depending on how involved you are in the process, to catch up in person. They've got a pretty good situation when it comes to their work-life balance, or at least their physical versus remote work situation, at least in my opinion. If I were in their shoes, I would be pretty happy doing a kind of hybrid work environment like that.
Can I tell you something about my opinion on work from home, remote work?
Sure.
I hate it.
Really?
Everybody back in the office.
You're easily distracted.
Not for me. I want to work from home. I'm fine with that for me. I want everybody else back to work.
Right.
Get your ass in the office.
I just want everyone to leave me alone and let me do my work in my office. But then sometimes I want to go and talk to people. But I can also use, you know, the wonderful world of texting for that. I can send you a random text at 3 a.m. and just be like, hey, did you hear this? And you'll be like, I'm sleeping. What do you want?
I got a message from my wife just now. I've made a huge mistake. I let your brother into my Canva account.
Big mistake.
Huge mistake. I mean, I'm looking at that's a huge mistake.
it's just memes and ducks.
Yep, that's pretty much it. The deal is done. It's happened with WBD. The network deal or that other deal, I would imagine they're close if they're trademarking a name for a show. So they have a concept built out. They've pitched this concept. It's been liked. Maybe WBD came in at 0 hour and turned around and said, listen, I don't want you going to another network. Again, this is me speculating. I'd have no, beyond my initial report of last week where I laid out everything with Max and everything, I haven't spoken to anybody. Nothing has changed. Yeah. Paul Anthony Moss, the greatest name ever. When I commit a heinous crime and I got to take off and I got to shave my head and my beard, nobody will recognize me. I'm going to go by the name Paul Anthony Moss.
They call you Pam for short.
Pam. If AEW will no longer be exclusive to WBD, would this Mox storyline that's building possibly lead to separate brand show on a different network? If we were talking about a 2-hour program, then I would say, you know what? That's a real big possibility. I've only been told it's an hour, whatever this other thing is. I don't know if Rampage goes away either. Rampage is not on the deck for WBD. Let me just tell you. There is no... Rampage is not there. So I don't know if Rampage is the other product. I don't know if it's like a thing where, you know, we'll give you 2 hours of content. We'll give you Rampage and something else exclusive to you guys. That's a balance here. Maybe they rebrand Rampage. Maybe Rampage goes away and it becomes Shockwave.
Wouldn't be against that.
I wouldn't be against it too. Maybe because, you know, does it... The stigma with Rampage, does that go away if that's the case?
Well, you rebrand it and you don't present it as wrestling. You present it as news magazine repackaged as a recap show. You've got two 2-hour programs. That's good enough. Two 2-hour yeah. wrestling story based.
But where are you getting your, where are you putting your talent?
Ring of Honor. I don't have the answer for that.
Yeah. Where are you putting all that talent?
But there's a lot of talent, but at the same time, like you've got to find ways to effectively cycle your talent. And I know that this is something that honestly both companies kind of struggle with, WWE and AEW to a certain degree. AEW does have a lot more that they've brought in, featured, and then pulled back for long periods of time. And as a result, people start asking, well, where's this person? Where's that person? That does need to be worked on. I don't know if adding more hours of wrestling television is the answer as much as it is just effectively figuring out where should my talent be featured and should I have so many talent under my umbrella?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Do you hoard talent? Or do you just get lean? I think now with this deal, I don't think they're going to get lean. I think they're just going to try a lot of new things. More questions, send them our way. Super chat them if you would like. MG needs a new pair of Bullet Club shirts. Is that a knockoff Bullet Club shirt you're wearing? Okay. It looks it.
No hot topic for MG.
No hot topic for MG.
I got it off Amazon.
Yeah, that's a knockoff. Thanks.
Yep.
Great job.
$15 Canadian, baby. I know the shirt.
Oh my god. Let's see. Any other questions right now, or do we go into the next topic? Okay.
Before we get there, can I ask you a question? Yeah. So this is something you kind of alluded to where you started talking about when is there a deal announcement? And Grand Slam is coming up. And I don't know, and I'll throw it to you too. I don't know if this is the type of deal that you make a television announcement about. Are you on the same boat, or do you think that this is like, no, they should talk about it on TV, make a thing out of it?
If I could mute myself and tell you, I would tell you something right now. I think there is a TV element to it. I don't think TV is going to be like Tony. What I do not think they should do is Tony come out and start screaming that the deal is done.
Right.
You know, I don't think he should do that. No, I would love it. I would get a kick out of it. That would tickle me.
Save that for the break in between the shows where he yells about Time Cop and said he can yell about new TV deal. That's
you
fine.
You know what my favorite TV movie is? Time Cop!
And now he puts the thing up on the
and
screen.
And he puts it up and everybody goes nuts.
I wouldn't go that far, but they definitely
do. He needs to do a Time Cop
them.
Gimmick. So he needs, like, hologram is one, and he needs, like, a time, yep. And a Judge Dredd. He needs a Judge Dredd in that company.
Anthrax can come in and do the theme.
Anthrax can do the theme, yeah. This will make them profitable. This is all positive. Let's see how it plays out. Now, a lot of people, I got a message on Twitter, which this was a fascinating question. And we'll talk about Grand Slam after this. They said, well, now that the deal is going to be done, right? Any week or any day, whatever they decide. Not done. It's signed, but moving forward, right? They announce it. Will this change attendance in the buildings? I don't know. I think that's a fair question. I think that's a great question. You know, nobody wants to get behind a loser, right? I'm not saying AEW is a loser whatsoever, but nobody wants to get behind a loser. You don't want to go to a show that you know they're struggling. That's how people are. It's people want to get behind winners.
But they're just getting a deal isn't going to change the actual program. It's not going to change the quality of the storytelling. And I don't, and listen, I get it. There are more people online focused on AEW talking about AEW than other companies.
It's like 5,000 people.
Right. And max. And a lot of the time, those people who are complaining the loudest are not the ones going to shows. The people going to shows are going to go regardless. Present great stories, present undeniable programming, and people will come. I also think they can go with shrinking the venues, and we talk about this on In the Weeds all the time. Yeah. The way that you also promote your shows is another can of worms. You mentioned the promotion of shows and getting people on the same page. You can't have like Collision's coming to Dayton, Ohio, put Moxley on the page, put Will Ospreay, put all of these wrestlers, and the only ones on the actual promotional material that show up are FTR. You can't do that. That just doesn't look good, because if I'm outside fan just going to AEW tickets and be like, oh, they're coming. Oh, Moxley's here. Oh, this guy's here. Will Ospreay's coming. I want to go to the show. There's Thunder Rosa. And none of them appear. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
That stuff needs to be cleaned up.
Yeah, that split is hurting.
It can, but again, it doesn't necessarily need to. You just need to focus on what you're promoting from show to show, or who's going to be at each show. You tell me Jericho's going to be there and I want to see Jericho, give me Jericho. Whatever it is, swerve, whoever.
This show, Collision was not going to be. I mean, I don't know how quickly it changed, but early on, it was not this A-plus show.
Right.
Joel and I spoke about this, so much. When I was being told about this, it was WBD really wanted AEW wrestling on their channels or wherever. They did not want it somewhere else at the time. And they were doing Dark and Dark Elevation on YouTube. And they thought, hey, why don't we just bring it onto a station? And it was going to be something very different. And it turned into this. Obviously, CM Punk and what happened with him. And they decided that they're going to split the rosters. And it really was the beginning of everything kind of melting down for them. It was not a good time. So if they could realign a little bit here and make that the secondary show, and now they have something else on another network, it could be fun. It could be interesting. I'm not going into this thinking like whatever they do on this other station is going to be a blockbuster. I think it's just going to be content to put out content, and maybe they get a couple bucks, and that's like another thing that they could do. Here's a question from Matthew. Could Ring of Honor be on True TV? Will Collision move nights? I have not heard Collision moving nights. I have heard zero about Ring of Honor. If Ring of Honor gets a deal, that would be the best kept secret in all of professional wrestling. I think more people knew that CM Punk was showing up at Survivor Series with that 0 hour information than anybody would know about Ring of Honor. That could be the biggest shock. I've never heard one thing about Ring of Honor. And again, not saying that in a knocking way. I just have not heard a thing about Ring of Honor. And I think that's a mistake. I think Ring of Honor should be on TV. And it should be presented differently. But who wants that? You know, do you want a brand that's been dead since 2019?
They lost Dark and Elevation. They replaced it with Ring of Honor. And that's not a knock on Ring of Honor. That's just the presentation shifting from one YouTube show to watch ROH. Like that's the presentation. And then they put on the pay-per-views once a quarter, right? Final Battle's coming up. The big story that people are going to point to is they're going to do Athena and Billy Starks again. And it's probably going to be the crowning of Billy Starks. Other than that, Ring of Honor is just where it is. No other champions are, the only champion that's stuck in Ring of Honor is the women's champion. Everyone else explores everywhere else in the AEW atmosphere.
Yeah. All right, do I move on to Grand Slam coming up next week? Are you coming to Grand Slam?
Do you want to pay for my flight? It's like $330.
Sean's coming. I thought it's like a whole Fightful outing.
Yeah. I don't know if Sean wants to pay for any more of my travel in the future.
Why? Are you expensing way too much? Are you getting first class?
No, Jesus Christ, no.
That's on my rider. I don't fly business class the lowest.
Good for you.
I don't fly anywhere.
When I'm on a train and I have enough points, I go one-way business class, and then I slum it on the way back. That's what I do. I want to feel like a big shot coming into town.
And then going back, you just want to feel like a loser.
Yeah, I just want to be a big old loser on the way home.
You know, that's so funny. My wife and I, we talk about that all the time, because like when we flew for our trip, I was like, do we book, like, I don't want to book first class for both ways, right? I'm like, do we book it one way? Are we going and being, you know, successful people going and then coming back as losers from our trip? Or do we book it the other way? That's so funny.
I don't think there's a grand slam in the cards unless somebody wants to pay for my flight where I can stay. That's easy. I'll just stay on the couch opposite Andrew's studio.
We got $5. Does that say meat on the screen?
Yeah, man. That's Meatnormous. That's Meatnormous. Our legend.
Oh, that's a legendary name, dude. Fuck.
Legendary person, too.
Meatnormous. $5 here. AW needs to lower ticket prices in addition to running smaller venues. 4K in an arena that holds 5 is better than dark crowds and large venues. Yeah, absolutely. But I think it has to do with how much they're paying for those venues.
So Jeremy and I...
It's scalable.
It is. And Jeremy and I had a very long conversation on In the Weeds. I think it was Friday. If you go back, go on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked, and go check that out, because we did discuss a lot of this stuff. We did it on Friday because the analogy I made about promotion in Dayton, Ohio, that was coming off of the taped collision. So the ticket prices are actually not that bad right now. They could go down and do like a $10 ticket, and they can, you know, cannibalize their market now for future gains. That is a possibility. But right now, the tickets are actually pretty affordable. They start as low as $29. They build from there. At one point, yes, they did do $19, $20 tickets, but they've also found a way that people, you know, they get the hardcores to buy, and then afterwards the walk-ups get, you know, they get the cheaper tickets. Whether or not that works, that's up to you and how you perceive your purchases. Smaller arena, smaller venue, 100%. Two things get in the way, and Tony's talked about this. One is the access to a mailing list, which could be good or could be not, depends what you think is going to get you into the room. And the other thing is the load-in, load-out, and the actual facilities available at the venues.
Yeah.
The bigger venues, the NBA and NHL-sized arenas, those are going to give you literally everything you need to put on a large-scale production, regardless of how many in the house. Yeah. I do think smaller venues would look better. Sean has mentioned doing quirky venues for your presentation. I'm down with that, especially for a show like Collision. The Arlington residency, that kind of showed that you can mess around and have some fun with the way you show your crowds and present your product. That can work, but the ticket prices are they're pretty good if you start looking, you know, at certain times.
Yeah. Well, talk about a large arena. Next week, AW's here in my backyard, literally. 5 minutes away from my house. Arthur Ashe Stadium. This is a building that holds about 20,000 people. I was there last week for the U.S. Open. I go every year. I take the children. I did, by the way, I did get, and this is the God's honest truth. Last night, I took an edible, and I was watching Raw. And Raw looks magnificent, right? And I was thinking, I'm like, you know, when you're scaling a building, right? Like they essentially bring everybody down and they black out the top. Why not have some sort of ability to like block out the side and just come in the building? This is again. And I'm thinking, I'm like, who could manufacture something like that? Something large, or like drape it forward and close in the building from the entrance side.
I'm trying to place this in my brain. Are you saying like moving the entrance forward?
Forward, yeah. That whole entrance ramp area, just bring it forward and push the ring farther back. So now you scale the building.
So you could do that, but I think there's an issue with what amenities might be available.
Like fire escapes and emergency exits?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. Glassdoor Gamer, here we go. I work in events, and with AEW's production. I work in event. I'm sorry, my eyes are shot, and I can't.
Would you like me to read it for you?
Yeah, please, because you know, I have to tell you, I have a screen here. That's why I look here, and it's quad boxed.
Yes.
And I have to do this
Put your cheaters up, old man.
No, I'm not doing that publicly.
Glassdoor Gamer says, I work in events, and with AEW's productions, a lot of smaller and old arenas will lose power with their bells and whistles. Yeah. That's a good point. If you're not on the grid, and if you're not powerful enough on the grid, yeah, there's a possibility that you get lights out, like it happened once to them, you know, a few months ago on Dynamite.
Yeah. And also, there aren't too many smaller arenas around. When you had a local minor league hockey team or a minor league basketball team or minor league whatever, it was easier. Those days are kind of gone. Like the days of like the Hartford Civic Center or like one in White Plains, like those smaller buildings, they're it's whatever standing.
What about the college arenas? Again, I'm Canadian, so
the college arenas are huge, right? Aren't they big?
Well, those are I know the stadiums are huge, but there are certain college arenas that are, like the Chaffetz Arena where they run, and some of them are smaller.
Okay, so we got St. John's here, right? St. John's basketball.
Sure.
My wife's an alum, okay, here in Queens. I thought at one point I would play basketball for St. John's. Do you know this?
I've met you, and no, I don't believe that.
I'm trying to find the center here. How big is St. John's? St. John's, what is this called? Okay, here's the arena. St. John's basketball, it's a college campus. Holds 5,600 people.
Perfect.
You know what? My kid was christened there, by the way. My kid's christening was on that facility.
And could you pack 5,600 people in that vicinity?
You know what? I could probably pick... Listen, it's 5,600 people. You know, they could do smaller college areas. But again, I don't know if it's going to have the bells and whistles, like you said.
Of course.
You know, you want that LED scoreboard. You want the high ceiling. You want a lot of this. And a lot of these facilities can't do that. Arthur Ashe Arena, 20,000 people, right? They went from nearly 20,000 to, 13,000, then 11,000. This year, this is as of yesterday. 45.
You want an example? Can I give you something?
Yeah, give me one.
Put
me
it
one.
Up on the screen.
Yeah.
This is from Nora Sparks. So TNA, and Joel would know, this TNA is going to Detroit on Wayne State University. And it's a 3,500 capacity arena. So
yeah.
There's a good example of it.
You just brought that up because you're a Detroit boy. That's why.
Well, it came up and it made me think of it. It's right what you guys are talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. They ran Slammiversary in a 4,000 seat venue, and they sold it out.
How many people were at the last show? Because that looked great.
So the Texas show, I don't know exactly how much. They said it was their largest attendance for the U.S. this year, and it was a pack. They had floor seats and they had risers. So if they had 1,000 people, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they always do the TV tapings the next night, and they know what their retention rate is for those back to back nights, live versus taped. But yeah, they're building as well. And that's something that you can do is you start in a smaller venue, you build up because you see that the scale is there and you see that people are coming and they're buying tickets and they're showing up. This is the big concern with people with AEW and the way that the presentation has been on television.
Yeah. So attendance, we're at 4,593. We'll be at 5,000 by showtime. Okay. But that is, you're in New York. I mean, they have run New York a lot more, right? They have been running... Actually, no, they haven't. They didn't do a UBS show. They did UBS for a pay-per-view, right? They did Nassau Coliseum for a pay-per-view. Yep.
That was
World UBS 10 for a pay-per-view, which I was there for both. They didn't run any TV at UBS or Nassau Coliseum, which I find interesting. They ran Newark, which I'm not going to Newark. You don't get a lot of that New York City travel to Newark, especially on a Wednesday rush hour. So they haven't really saturated New York with TV, and 4,500, and you're in New York proper. You're in New York City. You're in Queens. Very accessible for everybody. 4,500 people. That is not good. I mean, listen, I'm there. I'm going. Of course I'm going, right? How could I not? But 4,500 people in New York, I mean, you set it up for 5,700. Last year was over 10,000. That's alarming.
How many matches were announced before last week?
Not many, and that's a problem, isn't it?
And the one that was official is now not happening, and it's been changed with something else.
The Darby Allin one.
Yeah, and this is what Jeremy and I have talked about is there are, and I'm telling you this, I'm not making this up, and I don't want people to misconstrue. I did hear from people who bought tickets to Grand Slam because they wanted to see Darby and Brian. They wanted to see Danielson and Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Now they're not getting that match, and like they're still excited for the show, but they're a little bummed out that the title match that was going to be on the card and the possibility of seeing a new champion crown. I'm not saying whether or not that would happen, but just the possibility for some people was enough to get them so excited. And now you're not even getting a world title match. Now you're not even getting an international championship match because the international champion is going for the tag titles. There's a lot of stuff that just isn't making the show as big as it could be. And I get that there's some star power and there's some stuff that's happening that historically is bringing people who are, you know, old Ring of Honor fans. Like I'm talking about Nigel and Brian, and that's even still a maybe because they haven't officially said it. They keep saying if Brian's clear, if you're trying to build drama, that's one thing, but there are also people who are like, what if Brian's not cleared? That stuff can keep people from going.
If
you're not giving us a reason to go and just saying, wait, we're gonna get you this week before the show starts in a week, you can't promote a big show like that. And there, it's kind of a victim of having All In 2 weeks later, All Out 2 weeks later, Grand Slam, like you don't have, or 3 weeks later, either way, you don't have much time to get those big shows in order to fill the venues ahead of time and hoping for walk-ups.
No,
because like you said, they're like, they'll get 5,000, that'll be okay. But that shouldn't be okay.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be okay that they find their numbers with the walk-ups. They should be able to tout how many people are going to be at the show before, and that they say, get tickets now because we're going to sell out. Not, yeah, if you show up on the day of, like, we're going to have a respectable amount of people coming because we really like the matches we're putting on. Do better than that.
Yeah. I got a Asian Joe in the chat room says, would have been like amazing him. To have famed St. John's alum Felipe Lopez, one of my favorite, at your child's christening. I watch Felipe Lopez play basketball in a middle school gymnasium when he was playing for St. John's, and everybody thought that that guy was going to be the biggest signing to the NBA at the time. Huge Felipe Lopez fan. Asian Joe with a great 90s reference here. He didn't do much. I think he played for Milwaukee, right? Is that right?
Someone else will get you on that one. Chad will get you on that one.
Yeah, someone will know. That first Grand Slam was something really special. I mean, we got Danielson and Omega in a 30-minute draw. And so that's the one that my wife came to. That was the first one she came to. And we had just come back from Chicago that year. So she was excited to go to AEW. And she's like, wow, this is really like something special. And I'm like, yeah, this is something really special. You're in that building has never hosted anything. Do you know what the other... After AEW, do you know what the other non-tennis event that building has hosted? It was this year.
Is it a graduation of some sorts? A high school graduation?
Nope. It was the dog show.
Westminster?
Westminster was held at Arthur Ashe.
And nobody was... what's the word? No one was preempted.
No one was preempted.
But you said the first Grand Slam, I came to town for that. I flew in from Toronto and I brought our mutual friend who now works for AEW, a different friend, by the way. And like her and I had a blast there. And this was before she officially worked there. This was a really fun show. That was a really cool show. And I wish that the feeling was there going into the show weeks in advance, not the week of the show.
Mr. Acosta here. A lot of Queens represent. A lot of St. John's alums. I went to St. John's, and that arena would explode after the intro pyro. Yes, it would.
I swear to God, they hear your voice, and they just flock to it.
They hear me. I know. I summon all the Queens boys and girls. That's how it works. Good Wendy Chu's showing up right after this. Cardoza High School graduate, my alum.
I've got Alex Cardoza, who does our SmackDown post show, tweeting out, hey, does Fightful need an anchor for a new show? Because I would do it. Give me 30 minutes and I'll give you the world. And I'm saying, I know what you're listening to right now, Cardoza. I get it.
You just need 22. You don't need the full 30, okay?
That's true. Yeah, give it 22 with commercials.
I want the ticket tape. I want the in the back. All right, so Arthur Ashe next week. It was going to be at Louis Armstrong Stadium because Forbidden Door was going to be at Arthur Ashe. That was the plan. And that did not happen. I don't know why that did not happen. I'm very curious. They were shuffling some things around.
Maybe it was the Westminster Dog Show.
Maybe, you know what? That's no, because they ran that already.
Well, no, I'm saying maybe it bumped the other thing. That's why it happened.
Maybe it bumped the other thing. Yeah, maybe it bumped the other thing. There was a super chat here that was skipped. Do we have it? All right.
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay. Put them up. Put them up. Yeah. All right. Joel, you want to read this one?
Mod Revolve says, why are they waiting so long to put tickets on sale for so many events? Concerts are 6 months while AEW is 6 weeks. Full Gear and Worlds End still not on sale.
What does WWE do?
Well, they just put the Survivor Series tickets on sale last week or the week before.
Yeah.
And they are 7 weeks out.
And that thing is probably sold out already.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
They did a really strong pitch and a really strong sale. And again, the expectation for War Games is pretty high. And it's Vancouver. They do not do pay-per-views there. So there's or PLEs there. So it's a pretty big deal for them.
Yeah, I don't know. And I also think a lot of the tickets are scalable. I don't know if that hurts or doesn't with the VIP packages going on first and group buys going on. And then they start trickling other tickets. I don't know how that impacts. I mean, ticket sales. I have a very good friend that was in that business for a very long time, and it's all about scalability. You never release everything at first. You wait, you hold off, you release more, you move tickets around. So there's a lot of movement here. So
concerts are also different as well, because concerts are a batch tour announcement. You know when when it's coming to your town. It's well in advance. All these cities go on sale either at the time of announcement or shortly after, and then you got to do the big lists, the membership clubs, all that stuff. And then with AEW or with wrestling in general, 6 weeks out is pretty good because they tend to release stuff in quarters. AEW is they just put out a whole bunch of Dynamite and Collision events. Like they've announced like all these are going on sale now. So yeah, the 6 weeks seems to work for them, and it works clearly with WWE as well.
Yeah. Pull up some more. Let's just go through super chats. You know what? Forget about everything else. Let's just go through super chats. How about that? Let's just do that. All right. I'm sure there's more.
How about that?
No, and then let them keep sending them in.
This is AEW put on the on sale for like Wilkes-Barre this Wednesday. Like these are on sale now all the way through October 23rd in Salt Lake City.
Okay. Does Eric Bischoff ever get tired of being wrong? I don't know what Eric's official stance on this was, because I mean I see a lot of like clickbaity clips of him, but it's never posted by Eric or Conrad. I think it's just clips. I have no idea what Eric's positioning on this is.
I couldn't tell you. I don't listen to it just because I have other things going on and other stuff that I listen to. But by and large, I'm just told he can be even keeled. It's just sometimes the stuff gets clipped out and he tries to make the most engaging thumbnails possible.
Listen, he worked in the pro wrestling business for a very long time. It's all about, you know, getting eyeballs. So I've done a show with him. He was a great host. We spoke after the fact. It was nothing. It was like a very normal, nice man. So that was my engagement with Eric. I've never had any negative engagement with Eric. I don't know. Listen, I think some of it also is, you know, he works this up and he makes it interesting to his following because that's what his following wants to hear. But, you know, Tony was able to do something that Eric couldn't or hasn't. And obviously the landscape is very different and Eric has a very different philosophy than Tony does. And maybe it's just a matter of philosophy. And, you know, Jim Cornette, one of the greatest minds in pro wrestling. There's no denying that. Articulate, intelligent, great historian. But I don't agree with a lot of the stuff he says about AEW. I just don't agree with it. And my whole stance on this is, listen, I'm 40 now, okay? I'm 40 years old. My taste has changed astronomically from when I watched wrestling, when I was a teenager. the stuff that I liked when I was 15, 16 years old or 14 years old, sneaking out of my house to go to the Elks Lodge to watch ECW. I don't know if I would tolerate half of the stuff in ECW. You know, would I find it as entertaining? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I still watch it every now and then, and I'm like, I can't believe I went to that show. And I try to find myself in that stupid, ridiculous building that was oversold. I'm sure I was at a show that Tony was at too. I'm sure Tony was at the Elks Lodge for something.
You guys probably stood next to each other and everything.
Can you imagine?
It'd be fantastic.
That would be great. He likes my beard. I think that he likes. Oh, here's for Joel. Cody.
Oh boy.
Cody, will Anthem ever shop Impact to a bigger network, TV network?
I mean, they own the network that they air on. This is the eternal question. Where does TNA make their money?
Where do they make their money?
Where and how?
Latex. They're in the latex business.
They've done some international television deals that have kept them afloat, and I'm sure there are other things that are, you know, making them maybe more profitable than they've ever been. Will they? I mean, they could. It just comes down to where they see the product growing and what the expectation is for growth. They have ideas. They have plans, does Anthem. They also have a lot of stuff coming up in the next year when it comes down to contracts and things that are shifting in their landscape. So I don't know. It's the eternal question. How does TNA stay afloat? They are the cockroaches of pro wrestling, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, because they have survived everything.
Yeah, I wish I had more time for TNA. I really do.
Well, if you don't, every Thursday after the show goes off the air on TNA Impact, we do host a post show here on youtube.com/Fightful. So go ahead and check that out, because we don't do 2 hours. We do usually about one, maybe 45 if there's just wrestling on the show.
Meet Normus. $10 super chat here. Appreciate you. Since you mentioned Baloney and Mortadell, I'm a gabagool guy. Now let's crank. Would you do a meat mayhem as a tourney or a beef battle royal or multi-meat tag? Shout out to Beef in ROH. Yeah, there's a man named Beef in ROH.
He's on the indies too. Very popular.
Uncle Dave thought, was it? No, Brian Alvarez thought that he was part of the Bears.
I can understand that. Beef Bear.
Beef Bear. Bear Beef.
Bear Beef, Bear Bronson,
Bear Boulder, Bear Bronson. He's a local guy here. I think I called his match. I think I was involved in something. He was wrestling somewhere, and I either called it or helped produce it.
Nice people.
Nice,
I like
Long
them
Island boy. He's a Long Island boy. It's good. Listen, I love a spicy gabagool. I love a mortadell. I love a prosciutto. Like a nice prosciutto, but very thinly sliced. Nobody wants to eat a chewy, thick prosciutto. I'm big on the cold cuts. Hold up. You're 40? Holy hell. I wish I looked like that at 40. You know, I thought you were like 32. Oh, thank you. If I had my fan, I'd fan myself here. Drop your self-care routine, sir. I hit 30 this year. Well, Joel knows my routine.
Yeah, dark lights and dark lights. No filters.
Steroids, a lot of performance enhancement drugs. I do see an anti-aging doctor, so that also helps. And I inject myself daily in the stomach, and I do TRT. That's my anti-aging regimen. My wife does my skincare routine though. She's big on keeping me young. No filler. I can't wait till I start doing fillers and Botox and I end up looking like Mario Lopez.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to come out.
That's
going to
be my face in my 50s. Oh, I want the big, massive lips. Hey,
guys, I'm Andrew Zarian. Welcome to Beyond Belt.
Don't tempt me, Joel.
I know it'll happen.
I got syringes right here. I'll do my own.
Look at you.
Do you know what's on my desk right now that I've been playing around with? I'm not even kidding you.
I'm afraid. I'm
not kidding you. I have bones and syringes. I have plastic Halloween bones and I have syringes. This is CZW live in my studio.
Hey, Andrew, how did you guys get demonetized on this episode? Oh, you know.
They could be fake. They could be from Party City. Nobody knows. All right. What else do we have? Let's throw some more questions up.
There's one right there.
Okay. Yeah, Glassdoor Gamer. Incredible dude. WWE scalpers tickets are starting to decline weekly. They use partners to help distribute tickets. Highest gross PR has Sloan. AEW does not have these type of partners. Yeah, I think that definitely helps too. Secondary and third market partners that purchase tickets and they distribute it. I don't know if that's helping. I mean, here's the reality. I think the product got cold in 2023 and they've had a real difficult time coming back from there. I think definitely the CM Punk stuff turned people off tremendously. I know so many people that were turned off by all of this.
But it's been over a year at this point.
You know what? What are you doing here? What happened to my screen?
I got added. I got added to the box.
Quad?
Yeah.
Do you see a quad?
Yeah. I'm big in the quad right now.
Oh my God. It's humongous. It's a giant Joel. I can't read the questions now because it's blocking partially. Well, I wasn't reading it anyway because I can't see. They got cold. And you know what? The big question, what happened to all those WCW fans, right? It was over and they left. And I think a lot of that happened with AEW. I think a lot of the favorites are gone. Kenny has not been consistently on TV for a very long time. The Young Bucks are not wrestling every week on TV for a very long time. Danielson finally got the title. Moxley's in and out a lot. There's been a lot of injuries. CM Punk left. Samoa Joe's not there. Someone that you built 2023 on. You know, these are a lot of moving parts. Max is not there. He's leaving. He comes back. I think they had a series of unfortunate events that have affected ticket distribution and viewership. But I don't know what the solution here is. It's not doing what they're doing currently and going forward with it. I think they need a shot in the arm. They need a big shot in the arm. Listen, I know what that shot in the arm is. My opinion. Not anything I know verified. You know who I want them to bring in.
Well, I've made my case.
They have to.
Do it next Wednesday.
Oh,
in New York.
I faint like an old Victorian woman. Whoa!
Where's my fainting couch?
Whoa! RJ has to catch me. RJ City will be right behind me to catch me.
He should be there just to pick you up.
You know, listen, I'm making that joke, but they do have potentials for big stories. You know, this Moxley thing, I really like. I like how they're presenting it. I think if Hurt Enterprises, I think that's the name that they're going by, right? They trademarked it.
The Hurt Syndicate.
Hurt Syndicate. There you go. You know, they could come in and that could be a hot storyline for something. All right. You want to read this one?
Yeah, some from Ibro. I think some of AEW's problems is word of mouth. The fastest way things grow is being culturally relevant, and it doesn't seem like AEW has great PR.
They have tremendous people on their PR team. Adam Hopkins is a WWE veteran. He was there for 20+ years. Another nice Long Island boy, Adam Hopkins.
What does PR mean in the grand scheme of things?
You know what they don't have, and I'm gonna say it. They don't have a ministry of propaganda. Okay.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, that hurts them. Not having that aggressive, you know, propaganda arm that will constantly beat down whatever the initiative is. WWE has that. I mean, these are. Listen, Chris is an incredible, incredible person at his job over there. You know, you see the memes now, but he is a tremendous arm for that company. And I would say WWE has benefited by having him there. I think, you know, for AEW, they may need to get aggressive with their PR and their marketing and how they interact with the fan base and how they're putting content out. I do think there's a problem with content distribution, especially with social. You know,
what do you mean? Again, Jericho won that match in Mexico.
Jericho did win that, man. You know what? Talk about propagandist. they presented Chris Jericho as the winner of that match. I mean, that is funny. I actually found that hysterical, but I think marketing could improve. I think aggressiveness could happen. And this is no knock at anybody else. It just, they need the right person coming up with these ideas for them. You can't sit back and just rely on matches to entice people anymore. That's not going to happen anymore. You can't rely on a Jon Moxley storyline only to bring people back, or a Max storyline. You need so much more to get people to believe this is the greatest thing I'm going to watch.
You know what the cool thing about this new Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling is that's coming out?
Is this a Canadian thing?
This is Scott D'Amore bought Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling and is bringing it back. Okay. Scott and his team are putting on a bunch of dream matches with wrestlers that you know from various companies, including AEW. That is going to work for their first two nights of shows. And then after that, you got to start building the stories that go along with it. And I'm not saying AEW doesn't have stories, and I don't like that. I don't like using that term, because I do think AEW has stories, but I think that there needs to be more focus on putting emphasis on those stories over the, hey, look at this cool match. It's going to feed into whatever we're telling you is the story, I promise. Once the stories become number one presentation, then the matches flow with it. And once that happens, there's so much more possibility and potential for AEW on the growth.
Yeah, Sarah says, was it Joe Lanza that said Nick Khan and Legentile, he's not gentle, were sharks in a kiddie pool when it comes to wrestling media? Yeah, they are. I mean, I've had conversations with Joel off the record about this stuff. Like, I know Chris pretty well, you know. This is not a guy from pro wrestling. This is a guy from Showtime Boxing and from The Zone. The wrestling mentality, like what we think as fans or people that have consumed wrestling and wrestling media, you're not dealing with someone from the wrestling world. You're dealing with someone from the entertainment world. And that is a very different way of looking at things. They look at the big picture. They don't look at the small picture.
Also, us as creators, and this is, again, we're going to get way too offbeat if we go there, but we as creators, we don't have the same protections that other companies might have, or that other presentations might have.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't have a New York Times level of protections from any sort of, from any issues, mitigating from a lawsuit or threats of whatever, or access, things like that. We don't have the same protections. So we do tend to go with the flow, and that's not us specifically. That's not me speaking at Fightful or anything like that. Yeah. But you see a lot of content creators who are in the rooms, and that's because they're doing something that they love for the sake of their game, G-A-M-E, not gain, G-A-I-N. I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying. And as a result, like, the way that they present their content is typically through a positive lens.
Yeah.
But then there are the journalistic folks who present wrestling in a reportive style, or in a way that's not going to be WWE PR, AEW PR's way of doing things or finding out things. Those people are few and far between, because those people are unafraid of ramifications that come from this. They're doing it because they have a journalistic background or a journalistic want to do this. And it's again, very different conversation, but there's a lot of nuance that goes into these conversations about wrestling media and how we do things differently than boxing media, than we do things in entertainment media. Like, it's so different. And yeah, we don't have a lot of the same things that those other people have.
Yeah. All right, let's do three more rapid fire, and we got to get out of here. This was fun. I like doing these Q&As. I think... All right, give me one. Oh, it is Russell Tix. Is this to me? I'm a big fan of Russell Tix. Beyond. Yeah, thank you. My feeling is that they'll comp a lot later. By the way, go before I read this, go and subscribe. WrestleTix on Patreon. I'm a subscriber. The amount of work this person does gathering data every day and putting it out there is remarkable. I mean, that is, I close your ears. I get like a boner for analytics, you know? Like, I'm a big fan of numbers and spreadsheets. That's all I do. I just stare at spreadsheets and I try to make facts out of whatever I'm seeing, depending on how you want it to show. My feeling is they'll comp a lot later. You know, one of my buddies just messaged me, one of my closest friends, and he wrote, I have something for your show that no one listens to. He's got a scoop. My feeling is that they'll comp a lot later. Happened last year's show. My feeling has always been Grand Slam should have been a pay-per-view. I agree with you. Grand Slam should have been a pay-per-view. It's one of the biggest venues they run in the States. Good show, guys. It is a pay-per-view now in Australia. They did do a good job at building that as an important show, which I do. That is great, but man, you're in New York. You're in the New York market. There's so many ways to get people in your building. I specifically know about this. I know a lot about this. Working with venues all around Manhattan. Working with hospitality venues, working with nightclub, I know how this market works. And if you put the effort in and you tell people, you gotta go. I don't forget about the match. I mean, we were talking about like the matches, obviously, that's a big help, right? But you're in the busiest market. You could sell anything here. It's just strategy. That's really what it comes down to. You need the right strategy to get people in the building. That first year, I'm walking down Midtown. I'm on 37. I'm out of Penn Station. I'm walking all around Midtown. There was stenciled on the sidewalk, stenciled AEW Grand Slam Arthur Ashe. AEW Grand Slam everywhere. It was stenciled all around Manhattan. You had subway banners. You had bus banners. People were talking to me that do not watch wrestling. They wanted to go to this thing. I'm not even kidding. Like, I had people ask me, like, who's there? What is this? Oh, my God. Oh, Chris Jericho. Oh, Brian Daniels. Daniel Bryan, you know, whoever. CM Punk. People were talking about it. It was a buzz. There's nothing this year.
It's another show on the calendar.
It's another show on the calendar. Why did they stop? I don't know. Why was Stokely watching tag team DVDs?
Oh, I got this one.
Okay, go.
So the tag team division in AEW is, hot garbage right now. So as a result, Stokely was trying to harken back to better times in the tag team division and watching those matches to remind ourselves of a time 5 years ago when AEW's tag team division was, in fact, the hottest thing ever.
Yeah. All right, give me a couple more. Come on. Rapid fire. Boom, 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 boom. Bros, Tony bro. Bologna.
Bro.
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 Bro. Bro. Bro.
I'm doing the DDP bro, by the way. Bro. 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 He's like a dog. Bro. Sorry.
Bro. Bro. What are the chances WWE buys TNA in the next 5 years? I love what you guys do. Thanks so much. Rich, you want to answer this question?
Yes. Yes, I do. I can't even do a Rich bro. I miss you, Rich. I miss you every day. Listen, I know Sean does the whole, like, nobody, you can never do a 0% or 100%, 5% chance. I don't expect WWE to want to buy. When they were in tape acquisition mode and company acquisition mode before the network, yeah, that would have made sense. But now there's no reason.
They did want it. They wanted the tapes. Do you remember what the rate for the tapes were?
Clearly too much.
Listen, somebody please tell me if this number is wrong, because this has been etched in my brain, $350 per hour of programming.
Amazing.
Does that make any sense? Am I hallucinating this number?
It's not something I have access to, but I don't see a reason for WWE to want to buy TNA. It's just, there's no reason for it. They run on different planes. I think the partnership is exactly as it's being presented. Don't expect massive, massive main roster talent or massive NXT stars to cross over. You'll see starting this week if you watch TNA. It's a lot of the NXT women who are new up and comers getting reps on TV, and TNA is offering them that shot, and they're working. NXT is a bigger name than TNA. It's objectively true. Just look at the ratings that they pull in. therefore, why would WWE want to buy the product? Why would they? What do they get out of it other than a tape library that they can no longer use to put on a service they don't keep up? So, there.
Good question. Do another one. Paul Anthony Moss asked Beyond the Bell, if AW pay-per-views end up on Max, they are ending up on Max, do you think they'll be free like WWE does with Peacock? Seems like it would be a great way to try to build a new fan base, given how good the pay-per-view matches usually are. That's a lot of money to leave on the table for them. I mean, we tried to do the math on the air. Do you have a calculator?
I can get one.
Okay, let's do this. Okay?
Okay. Give me the numbers.
Okay. They do 100,000 buys, right? Let's say on the low end average. Let's just average 100,000.
Sure.
At $50 a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
How much is that per show that they're making?
It's 5 million.
Now, divide that by 2. Let's say it's a 50-50 split for the pay-per-view providers.
Yeah, 2.5.
Now, multiply that by 10.
We're looking at 25 million.
Yeah. Do you leave $25 million on the table? And that's mostly, and again, that's a low end number, right? Some, they have a better split with the provider. Some it's a 50-50, some it's 60-40 for their favor. The other one's, you know, it varies, but do you give up $25 million to $30 million? I don't know. I don't, you know, that 170 number, does that include pay-per-view?
I don't know what they expect. Yeah, I don't know what they expect. I can see them just charging a price, not exorbitant, not $50 for Max. It could just be on a tier, the AEW tier. Maybe it includes streaming Dynamite like the Triller deal, right? Now you get the pay-per-views and you get Dynamite streaming and you get, you know, it could be something like that. But again, no idea, purely speculation.
Yeah. So I again, WBD does not have the functionality for a pay-per-view right now. That doesn't mean in January they won't. I don't know. I don't know what they're building out. They do have that BR bundle. They could have a tier for AEW where you get access to all the, you know, everything. I don't know how they'll bundle that. I've heard nothing on that. Do you think AEW hears one? Hey, what's that over there? $5. Do you think that AEW would bring back the House Rules event as exclusive Max content? I think they could do some interesting stuff. They could do that. They could do a special. They could do a real Beyond the Belt.
Beyond the Bells beyond, are.
No, that's my show. That's my show. The Battle of the Bells? No, yeah, Battle of the Belt.
Of the Borts. It's Battle of the Borts.
Yeah, they could do Clash of the Champion if they wanted to. You know, that was my scoop.
Singular champion,
Beyond the Bell. Beyond the Bell.
You're doing great, buddy. You're doing great.
I lost it. All right, let's do two more and we're out of here. I have a here we go. Okay, which one? Oh, to add to the previous chat, produce it like a PWG style mystery vortex. I mean, that would be awesome.
I wouldn't hate it.
I wouldn't mystery hate it either. Most. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't hate it at all. Okay. Brian Knight asked, will there be a new AEW video game in the next 2 or 3 years? Uke was awful. I have to tell you, I have a very different feeling about that game. Okay. It was exactly what they promised you. Everybody yelled, we want no mercy. We want no, I mean, listen, the graphics were poo poo, right? Not great, but they gave you that very simple no mercy play. It's a different time. Decades have passed. No Mercy was 20-something years ago. Gaming has evolved. You know who loves that game? My son, my daughter. They freaking love it. They play it all the time. Why? Because they're children. My son is 7. My daughter's going to be 9. They're a year and a half apart. They play it. They don't even know what they're pressing. And they have a great time. They're laughing. They're dying laughing playing that game. Now, is that enough to garner, you know, a great wrestling game? No, it's not. But they put out exactly what they said. It's No Mercy. And I think Tony discovered how difficult it is to develop a video game with a partner that doesn't make these kind of games anymore. You know?
Yep. Hey, man, I'm still trying to get it on Switch, and I look at it all the time. $39.99.
It's on sale right now on the PlayStation Store. It's like 40% off.
Yeah, it's on sale everywhere, but I want it on my Switch because I want to play it on the go, and I don't do Steam Deck stuff. I don't own a Steam Deck.
Sean asks, when do you guys think Stephanie Vaquer debuts in NXT? When? Maybe on the maybe one of these big shows, the Chicago show. That would be interesting.
You've got Julia
doing. I have
doing
an answer.
What?
Yeah, I have kind of an answer.
Okay, give me.
She supposedly is still in Mexico waiting on her visa, and her Instagram post. She's in a gym working out, and if you look at the background, it's all in Spanish. So I assume that's still to be true.
However, if she's working out at a gym in Miami, a lot of Spanish speaking people there.
In Spanish, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it really does come down to the visa being cleared and getting taken care of. Her debut can come as soon as it's cleared.
Yeah.
But right now, Julia is the play in terms of big presentation with the CW debut in Chicago. That's the match.
All right, let's do two more, and I got to get out of here. I'm out of time.
Wow, me too.
Holy I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. That's what happens with me.
I got a test at 12:30, but anyway.
No, I have to go see somebody.
Man about a horse?
I got to see a man about a horse, and I got to change his shirt because it's way too tight on me.
No such thing with you. I know.
I'm not convinced it's not just his shirt. I'm not convinced. This is very possible it's her shirt. Ryan asked, do you think AEWWBD try to get Daniel Garcia to re-sign by giving him a taxi cab confession style shot?
If it works, congratulations.
Oh man, that is something I've never seen in my head, and I just want to see him driving and he has the goopaline on,
stupid
you know?
Hat.
Like that stupid he puts on the goopaline and he's driving. And it's all the people in the back. Do you know, still to this day, when people ask me, like, what are you? Right? Like, because I'm racially ambiguous. I'm ethnically ambiguous. So people ask me constantly what I am. And I tell them. And then one of the things is Armenian. They go, oh, like, remember that taxi cab confession? Those Armenians in taxi cab confession? I go, why is that representation for any of my people? By the way, fantastic show. Daniel Garcia. You know what? Why not RJ City?
He did something like that.
Did he?
The road to, remember? The road to revolution or the road to...
Yes,
he would,
they did.
He would do the thing where the wrestlers get in the car with him and he'd ask him questions. And then it became AEW.
Yeah. He's one of... Do you know he's one of my favorite people in wrestling?
Made me wait 30 minutes to do an interview where he spoke at me for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty much... Yeah, that's great. That's RJ.
That's not a knock at RJ. That was just... This is what I get.
That's what I want. I want to talk. Do you know what I want to talk to him about? Only a couple things. I want to talk to him about the nanny. I want to talk to him about Long Island. I want to talk to him about David Arquette. Because prior to, you know, I work on manifestation. I'm big on this. My powers, I can manifest things to happen.
It's true.
I was manifesting that David Arquette would come over for Thanksgiving. This is the Thanksgiving before the pandemic. And I was working very hard at this and it fell apart. The pandemic ruined it.
Got to get it back. This is the year.
My Thanksgiving, it's going to be Joey Diaz, Tim Dillon, and David Arquette at my Thanksgiving. That's who I want there.
Do a deep fried turkey too?
I don't deep fried turkey. I do this turkey, the open one on the grill. Spatchcock.
Brother, I couldn't tell you.
Can I say that?
Yeah, I don't know. We already got a golden dollar sign in our future, so who knows?
Can I say that? Yeah. All right. Are we done?
Why not?
Guys, this was a freaking blast. Love each and every one of you. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarin. You can follow Joel Pearl on X at Joel Pearl.
Yeah, but it's also down on the lock zone now. So if I like you, maybe
okay. All right. You know what? Watch In the Weeds. I'll be back on Friday with Matt Men. I do not have a show this afternoon because I have to go to a meeting. But this was a blast. A lot of fun. I had a lot of fun today. So until next time, bye-bye for now.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.